Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
A second half statement from the Celtics to finish off the road trip. They beat Denver for the first time in a couple years. And let's go back to Boston with a W.
High noon, Jones and Keith, WEEI. We're taking you up until 2 o'clock. You got WEEI afternoons there. Sure, a lot of Patriots conversation. We're going to get to the Celtics here with Terp, as we do each and every week. A reminder, WEEI's coverage of football's postseason is brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. Terp, nice win for the Celtics last night.
Sure was. Nice road trip. 3-1 against eight or four teams, all in the top eight of the Western Conference. Three of them in the top four, with a six nights. It's a good stretch.
So the Thunder loss doesn't outweigh the overall trip for you. They win 3 out of 4. That was a rough loss, though.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, 27 points in the second half for this team with that much star power is just unacceptable. And it's something that was a lot to do with their spacing, but I also think that said a lot about Oklahoma City and what they're doing. I think that was a statement for them, and that win actually said more about Oklahoma City than it did for Boston, just because of what they do defensively. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Celtics. When they're at their best, they do it on the defensive end, but you just saw how their physicality really bothered the Celtics and it ended up costing them the game.
How much? I mean, because they had such a good first half, and then the second half they fall apart. Talk about the Thunder game, where it's one of a handful of games where you had your 9 best players, so the only guys that played. You know, if they are ever 100% healthy, that's what it's going to look like. And then you see that in the second half. Is that sort of speak to just they haven't been on the floor together a lot, or like is there something to the fact that we haven't seen these guys play much together?
Yeah, they've had their entire rotation just 2 times this year. They were supposed to have it last night, and then Derek White and Jordan Walsh were both scratched with illnesses. So part of it is the rhythm. I think that especially is affecting the shooting. Like when you're looking at the 3-point shooting, which has obviously been down a little bit this year, almost 2 full percentage points from a year ago, you're looking at the guys that have been in and out of the lineups: Jaylen Brown, Drew Holiday, Kristaps Porzingis, Sam Hauser. All of them are shooting career lows or near their career lows just because they haven't been able to get into a rhythm. So I think that is an underrated aspect of this, and it's certainly paying a factor.
Do you think that was intentional? They took fewer threes last night. Like Keith pointed out, in the Rockets game, they only took 39, so it's not like they never shoot below 50. But Mike Malone made a big thing before the game, and maybe it's easier to do without Jokic. The Nuggets didn't have Jokic last night. But he made a big song and dance. They're going to get 50. It doesn't matter. That's their thing. It's all about the quality of shots they get. And then the Celtics went out and took 35. They only made 12. They were outshot on makes and attempts by Denver last night. Do you think that was intentional, like an F you to Mike Malone?
I don't. And they only actually hit the 50 three-point attempt marks once in this trip. It was a Minnesota game. All the rest were under 50. I think that was a product of Nikola Jokic being out and just having less rim protection. Obviously, Aaron Gordon as well. And they actually did that in the first half of the Oklahoma City game, too, where they weren't afraid to use their size. I thought Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown in the first half in OKC were just bullying them. They had no answer. They were too big. And then they got away from that a little bit in the second half, started settling a little bit. And part of that was because of their drives. I think they were making it a point to get downhill and try to score, and they just weren't making the right reads. So I don't think it was anything intentional, because they were down the three-point shooting were down the whole trip as is.
We usually talk about like who the toughest competition in the East is, but because they just played these 4 teams out West, if we're going to jump all the way ahead to the finals, who do you think is going to come out of the West?
I mean, it's tough to look at that Oklahoma City
right
and think any other team. Like, that team is legit. And I know a lot of people are looking at them as a young team, and they kind of have to take their lumps before they can get over the hump. But, I mean, that team has all the pieces. They're led by an MVP candidate. They play great defense. They can shoot the hell out of the ball. So, yeah, that's definitely Oklahoma City.
If it's the Thunder, would the Celtics have the best player on the court in the series?
I still think Jason Tatum is the better two-way player.
Okay.
I mean, especially this year. I mean, Jason Tatum really doesn't have many holes in his game this year. I mean, even in isolation, which a lot of people have been hard on him in the past, he's, in terms of high volume and isolation, he's averaging the most points per possession. I know that's a little bit of a more analytical stat, but it really measures his efficiency, where he's been great, and he was cooking them last night in isolation. He's also not afraid to distribute the ball and work as a facilitator. Mm-hmm. He just continues to grow in that sense as well. So I do think just the two-way versatility, because he can guard 1 through 5, and he's really taken a sense of pride on that end too. So I think they would have the best player on the floor.
I think I was just looking up SGA. The advantage Tatum has is the shooting. Just watching him this year, I feel like he's been a better three-point shooter. That's really not true.
Who, Tatum or
no,
SGA?
No, Gilgeous Alexander.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's shooting a lot more of them, which maybe is why I feel like he's been a better shooter. The makes are up. The attempts are up. But he's still only a 36% shooter, which is close to a career high. But it's right around what he's
That's
done the last few
too.
Years.
That's league average.
But don't you think Tatum's I feel like Tatum's a better shooter than him, which is why that and the defense, I would give him an advantage as an overall player.
Yeah, that's the thing with SGA is he just puts so much pressure on the rim. And we saw that when they played on Sunday. He just gets downhill and allows them to operate. He just does such a good job driving. And Tatum can do that as well, but he also has the post game. He can shoot from three, which they both do. But I think his post he's really using a lot more this year. And I think he would, and more so I'm looking at the defense. I think SGA is a good defender, but Tatum doesn't get enough credit for what he does defensively. Right. He really does set the tone for that. I mean, Jaylen Brown's the most vocal about it. But when your two best players are taking pride in their defense and really setting the tone, it's important.
Chet Holmgren's coming back at some point.
Yeah, he was actually working out today. I saw.
Broke his pelvis. Is that what the injury was?
Is that what it was?
It was something insane. It was like, yeah, it was one of those injuries that you hear it, and you're like, oh no.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's like another stick man. There's like 4 or 5 stick men in the league. Chet Holmgren's one of them.
Porzingis is one of them.
Porzingis is, but he's thicker than Wemby and Holmgren.
Yeah. He is, but he's still
like Durant.
He's
like
just ready to break like a matchstick.
Well, yeah. I mean, he has plenty of his own injuries, but all those other guys, it's like Slenderman, which is what Wemby dressed up as that one time.
Yeah,
but Holmgren has that. No, they're definitely impressive. Part of me has a hard time. And I know the records aren't even close, but has a hard time ruling out Jokic. And maybe I'll be proved wrong because after they won it, I thought, all right, they're going to come back, and they didn't. You know, so is he closer to Giannis, where it's like you win one, then you're kind of done? I mean, the numbers Jokic is putting up are off the charts. But like, does he have enough around him to kind of push him back?
I mean, the Nuggets were impressive
they played well.
Right? Did you see the number that was kind of going around though?
5,280 feet above sea level.
That's true. That's true. That elevation.
I did see that. Yeah.
So Denver's net rating, which is just essentially
I'm going to stop you right now. Yeah. No, I did not.
Stop talking.
I did not see it. No.
It drops 25.8 points when Jokic is off the floor. So they're a plus 11 when he's on, a minus 14.8 when he's off.
That makes sense.
No team has finished with a minus 13 or worse since the 2011-2012 Charlotte Bobcats, who won 7 games and set an NBA record.
Mecca Okafor?
Yeah, Gerald Wallace on
Oh,
Ospitz.
Good.
Yeah,
Bobcats
team. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, not good.
DJ Augustine? Was he out there?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, he was there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Nice.
Bobcats legend.
Yeah, Bobcats. For sure.
There's not many of them.
What a disaster. That uniform sucked. Like, that never had a chance to get off the ground.
No.
Because you were replacing the Charlotte Hornets.
Who were cool.
So cool. The coolest, maybe.
When we were kids, cool. Not Terp would know nothing about this. They're not cool now.
No.
But when we were kids,
did you see what Antonio Pierce was wearing yesterday?
Yeah. Raiders starter jacket.
Raiders starter.
Awesome.
That and the Hornets were the two most popular ones. Now, I didn't have either one. I would always go against the grain. I didn't want like what everybody had.
I think we talked. What'd you have for a starter jacket?
State.
That's
Florida
a nice
State.
One.
Yeah,
I
was sick.
I had the Saints for some reason. I don't know.
I kind of respect it.
I'm guessing my grandma went to Apex and it was the only one there. I'm guessing that's what happened.
You're a big Pat Swilling fan?
I had a Saints
I could have been.
I don't know why, but I had a Saints one.
I don't hate that at all. But yeah, he was rocking the Raiders one. You're like, bring that back.
Yeah.
Oh, nice job. Is that Brian working the Twitch right now? Adam Morrison.
Emeka Okafor
and Gerald Wallace.
Yeah, nice.
The big three for the Bobcats.
But do you feel like it was a missed opportunity with no Jokic last? Like, not that the Celtics,
it's out of their control, but
well,
still.
And they've proven themselves as champions. So maybe it sounds stupid to talk about measuring stick games, but especially off the Thunder loss, I would have liked to have seen them best on best as much as you can. Maybe no White and no what?
Just more Bobcats pictures. Ray Shelton, Sean May. They tried to recreate the 2005 North Carolina Tar Heels.
Oh, it was a good Tar Heels team.
Minus Rashad McCants.
They
won a title.
That was a good Tar Heels team.
No Marvin Williams, no Rashad McCants, but they tried their best.
But I feel like they eventually got Marvin Williams. But
maybe.
The point is, you lose to the Thunder. You have a chance to go best on best against the Nuggets. No White and no Aaron Gordon, but Jokic gets a scratchy throat and he's out of the game. That felt like a bit of a missed opportunity.
Yeah, and especially in the second quarter. I mean, they were outscored 32-20 in the second quarter. I think that's where the game kind of hung around a little bit. I think that's what allowed, because they built a 15-point lead in the first quarter, and then they let them hang around and made things a little bit more difficult. And I feel like that's been a little bit of a problem with this team. Is last year, coming off the 2022-23 loss in Game 7 to Miami, they really prided themselves on being focused and engaged for a full 48 minutes because that's what screwed them from going to the finals in back-to-back years. And this year, I really just haven't seen that. Like, there hasn't been that intentionality for an entire 48 minutes, and I think last night was another example of that where they play like they can flip the switch, which they can. They proved it last night. They went on a 15-0 run in the fourth quarter and put it away. But it's just not what we're really used to seeing from this team from the habits they built last year where they have these lulls like we saw in the years past, like last night.
617-779-7937. You can jump in if you have Celtics questions for Terp on a Celtics Wednesday. We talk to Terp every Wednesday at high noon. Can I just interject some news?
Oh, I'd love some news.
Tom Pelissero, NFL Network. Multiple NFL teams have inquired about whether legendary coach Bill Belichick would reconsider his move to college football.
What?
Including
the Patriots.
The Raiders.
What?
Whose new minority owner, Tom Brady, spoke recently with his old coach, per league sources.
Can you imagine?
Pelissero continues.
If he never coached in North Carolina.
Belichick's
Hello, everyone. Surprised to see me here?
A little bit.
Well, I am, too.
I would absolutely be surprised to see you with Brady. Belichick's UNC contract includes a $10 million buyout if he leaves prior to June 1st, 2025. This is something I messed up in real time when we were talking about it. I thought it was June 2026. June.
Oh, boy.
Though it's not entirely clear whether it would apply if he returns to the NFL in the coming weeks, blah, 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 blah. So multiple teams have reached out to Bill about his interest in going to the NFL, including Tom Brady and the Vegas Raiders. Yeah, maybe the other teams, the Patriots.
Yeah, Robert Kraft's like, we really screwed this up. Can you come in and do an interview?
I believe this, or is this just Bill putting it out there that, yeah, I talked to Tom about the job, and teams totally want me? I don't know that I fully believe it.
I don't know about the multiple teams thing because three of those teams fired their coach in season. There was the report that he put out feelers to the Jets, and the Jets were like, we're not really ready for that right now. I don't think he's going to the Saints. I don't think he's going to the Bears. He's as funny as it is. He's not coming back to the Patriots. So that leaves the Jaguars, maybe. Right? That was always sort of a maybe because...
Yeah, but again, they've known for months and months. They've known who they were going to bring in, potentially. And he's the Lombardi, took a shot at Shad Khan's kid.
The thing I would have a question mark would be the multiple teams thing. The Raiders is the freshest job opening, and then this news comes out today. I wouldn't rule out the Raiders. If you're Brady, don't you want to be Bill's boss? I bet he does.
I bet he
tell him what to do.
I bet he wants to be Bill's boss.
I don't know if Bill would sign up
but
for
I'm
that.
Just saying, where did this come from? Bill's side.
Maybe.
It makes Bill look good. Yeah, I talked to Brady about it. Yeah. How formal that was, I have no idea.
Yeah, but multiple teams being interested in Bill now does kind of stink to, like, that's nonsense because he's been available all year. He's available last year. He's available all this year as
and
well.
And now all of a sudden teams are like, whoa, 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 you're at North Carolina. We need you now.
Now we got to have you.
Yeah.
You're following three-star recruits on Twitter? We need you.
He did interview a five or recruited, had a recruiting.
He did. He talked to a five-star. We were going through his Twitter follows yesterday. He does follow one five-star recruit.
Nice.
Hopefully that's he made that big announcement, but he's been on since August. It says like when your account was created, and it said like August.
Oh, really?
This big announcement, but he's been on Twitter since August.
I didn't know that either. I saw a fake Bill Belichick tweet going around yesterday. He was at like some barbecue place.
Ooh.
And that wasn't even
him.
Wasn't
it
even
wasn't,
Bill.
You got to really check it. It's Belichick _ B.
You
for
gotta,
real.
That's what it is. Here's what you got to do. You got to go to all the follows. Look at like the first six. Yeah. Like Adam Schefter, Ian Rapp. Yeah. Get down like six or seven, and then you get to Jordan Hudson.
Oh, yeah.
And you know
Does
you
he have
know
the check mark? Did he?
Good question.
Dip into the NIL money for the $8 check mark there?
He does have the check mark.
Oh, nice. Good.
Oh, he does.
I've lost track of what
so you know it's him.
I've lost track of what that even means anymore.
The check mark now actually kind of means it's not the person. Because like the person's like, if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to fool people, I'm going to spend the $6 or whatever it is.
It's true.
Good text. The Raiders would be perfect for Bill. No quarterback there.
That is. He loves that. He's like all about it.
No QB.
So again, Tom Pelissero, multiple teams now interested in Bill Belichick. All of a sudden, including Tom Brady and the Raiders.
He's like, guys, our offensive coordinator is Josh McDaniels. He's going to take no interviews at this time. Do not talk to him. It's just pretend it's a different Josh McDaniels.
Well, they are still paying him.
It's Joshua McDaniels.
He's already on the payroll. That's a good point.
Don't need to update that. He's getting his checks.
So you can jump in on that and the Celtics. 617-779-7937. I know you said it's a successful road trip. I agree. How do you feel about the way the Celtics have been playing in general for the last, call it, month?
Last month, they'd be the first to admit, before they went on the road trip, they had a meeting about it and how they weren't happy about it. It was their most losses in a month since March of 2023. So you haven't really seen them struggle like that. And I honestly think it's just been the inconsistency. And we haven't seen that from this team. Again, it goes back to that idea of that mindset, playing with the intentionality and focus on both sides of the ball for a full 48 minutes. And you look back to December, and some games it was their offense, other games it was their defense. They really weren't putting it all together. And we saw them do that a couple times over this road trip, but still, I mean, the three-point shooting is starting to become a little bit of a concern. I mean, part of it is the volume. Like, they're shooting so many, your percentage points are automatically going to drop. Like, they're going to fluctuate. That's going to happen because of the volume. But they haven't really been shooting the ball well. You know, last year they were a great three-point shooting team. Now they're a great team that likes to shoot threes.
Yeah, they'll let it fly. It seems like everybody, though, across the board has the green light. And, in fact, you know, Mizzou would be mad if they didn't take the three.
Well, that's because their whole offense is just based on creating open looks. Right. So if they make the right read and there's an open shot, they better take it because that's exactly what they're looking for. And he's really – and it kind of goes to their analytical approach. He's really focused on – more of the process-based statistics, like what is the expected points or whatever, the assist,
sure.
Like
oh
a potential
God,
assist
yeah.
is one of his favorite. And it makes sense because it measures the process as opposed to the result, because you don't want to live results-based is what they like to say. But, I mean, at times you got to kind of get away from it a little bit. And I think in the second half in Oklahoma City where – they were shooting under 20%. And first of all, that's never happened in the Joe Mazzulla era, which is kind of wild considering how many threes they've taken. They've never shot under 20%. You got to kind of get away from it a little bit, right? And I think they would if it was a postseason game, but they're not going to do it in the regular season. They don't want to show their cards.
Is there anything they're going to do at the deadline? Like, I've seen enough stories come out where it's like, here's what the Celtics have. They actually have, by contender standards, a lot. They have three first-round picks they can move. Meaning in the future, they have 6 second rounders they can move.
Which but like money wise,
sweeteners
tough.
In a deal. Well, that's the issue, right? They're locked in when it comes to the luxury tax and the apron and everything else. So, can they realistically do anything at the trade deadline, or are they just going to be what a lot of contenders are? Wait till after the deadline, players get bought out, and then you bring somebody in on the buyout market.
I mean, it was reported before the season they were trying to shop Jaden Springer, who's on a $4 million deal here. They were trying to just kind of look at the interest with him. I think, honestly, ownership might be looking back at that Lonnie Walker thing. Like, you're looking at this team.
I like Lonnie Walker.
They don't have a lot of holes, but one of them is if Pritchard and Hauser are cold, they have no bench shooting. Yeah. And a guy like Lonnie Walker who's proven he can score in this league, you kind of look at him, and there's been reports that they've been interested and they've been linked to a potential reunion, but it all kind of hinges on Springer.
Yeah, I just look at it where, all right, you have all these first-round picks, but a team trading is like, all right, that's the 30th pick in the draft, basically. That's going to be 28, 29, 30. And is there somebody out there they could get who is definitely better than Pritchard, Hauser, Horford, Cornette, which right now, if everybody's healthy, that's your four guys off the bench? I don't think there is, because like Hauser, to me, you know, maybe in a vacuum, not like this perfect player or anything, but if he was on another team and you saw what his career three-point percentage was, you'd be like, oh, they just need to get a guy like that. Just put him in the corner and let him shoot threes. And then the way Pritchard has played this season, I know he had the tough game the other day, but like overall the way he's played this season, I don't think there's a guy just available out there to get who's going to get minutes over these guys.
Yeah, if they were to trade for them there's no way they're cracking the top eight of the rotation. Like this playoff rotation.
You need like a long-term injury to really need to move.
Right.
Yeah.
And you looking at it kind of similar to like Xavier Tillman last year, who they brought in.
Yeah, right. He doesn't even play.
He played a little bit in the playoffs last year. You're kind of looking for somebody to just fill that void. And they have to be comfortable with coming in and not playing every night.
Yeah.
So it's kind of tough to find somebody like that fits that bill and that.
Like my guy Nemus Kata. Sits one game, next thing you know, 8 points in 8 minutes.
Let me tell you, he was good last night, Keith.
Let the guy play.
That is your guy. I was
very. A 48-point game had you played him.
Very skeptical of him, but he was good last night. That's true. Terp, we always appreciate it on Celtics Wednesday. Jumping in, talking some Celtics. You can check out Terp's work at WEEI.com. You can also follow him on Twitter for all kinds of things. Practice information, active information, videos before and after practices, things like that. At Justin M. Turpin, great follow on Twitter. So you can get all your Celtics information there. Terp, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right, guys.
Thank you, Terp.
617-779-7937. You can jump in on the C's. Let's also get back into this latest news.
Bill Belichick.
Multiple teams.
Throw him back in there.
Want Bill Belichick, including Tom Brady and the Vegas Raiders. And when I say want, well, they've at least had conversations. That ties in with if Brady can screw with Mike Vrabel as the next head coach here in New England. Could Bill move on before he even coaches a game at UNC? Wouldn't be the first time he's been named a head coach somewhere and didn't follow through on being their head coach. We can get back into Vrabel and also the story today from The Athletic. Jerod Mayo wanted to be a player more than a coach, it seemed like.
I think that Las Vegas would be an NFL city and have facilities like this.
Facilities here are incredible. This is the Taj Mahal of a football facility. So, but yeah, no, it's a great environment. Looking forward to, you know, to being in the stadium, and of course we've come back out here in the regular season. So, but you know, it certainly looks like they're ready for football. Stadium looks good, facility looks good. And they got a good team, and a good coach, and a good staff. So, I'm sure it'll be very competitive.
How was Bill Belichick a couple of training camps ago?
Yeah.
When they were doing joint practices with the Las Vegas Raiders, going on and on about the great facilities that Vegas has. It's mostly a shot at Robert Kraft and the crummy facilities here.
It was mainly that, and they always rank at the bottom when the players do their interviews about, or the questionnaire about how the facilities are, what the food's like everything around, all the amenities. But he was hyping up Vegas a couple years ago. They do have an awesome stadium, and it's brand new and
incredible.
All that stuff.
Incredible. And, you know, maybe they have great facilities as well, for all I know. Meaning, you know, a training facility and weight rooms and all this stuff. But why are we bringing up Bill Belichick here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI? We mentioned the story earlier this hour. We'll reiterate. Tom Pelissero. Headline. UNC head coach Bill Belichick has heard from multiple teams, including Raiders minority owner Tom Brady, to gauge interest in return to the NFL. I'll read you the details here in the accompanying story with that tweet, but I'm skeptical. Multiple NFL teams have inquired about whether legendary coach Bill Belichick would reconsider his move to college football, including the Las Vegas Raiders, whose new minority owner Tom Brady spoke recently with his old coach about what it would take to make a reunion happen in Las Vegas, per sources. On a surprise move, he goes to UNC, meaning Bill, blah, 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 after 5 decades in the NFL. Brady has been in touch with Belichick recently as the Raiders weighed the future of head coach Antonio Pierce, who was fired on Tuesday after going 4-13 in his lone season as a full-time head coach. 4-13, that record sounds familiar.
That'll get you fired.
It got Bill fired.
And Gerard.
When he went 4-13. Brady and Belichick won 6 Super Bowls together. Brady believes the situation in Vegas requires a coach of Belichick's expertise and stature to establish a sustainable winning program.
All right.
Okay. Nice. The vacancies right now are the Jets, the Saints, the Bears, the Jaguars, the Patriots, and the Raiders. I guess in theory, a team like Dallas or the Giants or somebody like that could reach out to them too without a vacancy.
Yeah. Maybe somebody loses this weekend, or even if they haven't lost yet, they're thinking about, like, we're not sold on our guy.
Yeah, maybe the Vikings are looking for a pivot in case they lose Kevin O'Connell. Maybe. Yeah. So
if Sirianni loses, do you think he's out? Because they're like a big favorite, too.
I don't, but maybe. If it's ugly enough, maybe.
But regardless, there's a minimum of 6 openers.
Yeah, my only point is teams that do not currently have a vacancy could be on this list. But the ones with vacancies, Keith, you said it before, don't really make sense. The Jets, they fired Saleh when? Back in October?
Yeah.
November? When they fire him?
Two different things have happened even since then. You know, Belichick has just piled on Woody Johnson
publicly.
Good point. And then there was also that weird report, and I don't know whether to believe this or not, that Belichick and his people reached out to the Jets and were like, anything there? And they were like, we're not really ready for that. So regardless of who is interested or not interested, it's not the Jets.
It's not the Jets. The Saints have had a vacancy for a couple of months as well, or at least a month. When did they blow out our guy there, Dennis Allen, Darren Rizzi.
So yeah, that was an in-season firing.
Okay,
same with the Bears.
The Bears made their firing a long time ago. So all three of those teams have had a vacancy. Mm-hmm. Bill was available. He took the job at UNC. Now they're interested. None of that makes sense.
Like, keep up, guys.
I don't think the Jaguars make sense. Wickersham highlighted this in his story about Bill a month or so ago. Mike Lombardi, who we know speaks for Bill, he's now Bill's GM at the University of North Carolina.
Too. Yeah.
He's like, oh yeah, some teams have the owner's son running the analytics department. So he torched the Jaguars. I don't think it's them. The Patriots, are they calling Bill?
Well, a lot of fans would hope so, but I don't believe so.
I don't think so either. I think if Robert did, Bill would take the job here. He'd need $30 million a year, and he'd need Robert Kraft to publicly smooch his feet.
Yeah.
But I think Bill would take it. There's no way they called. And then the Raiders. Okay, fine.
Raiders.
Fine.
I think they called him.
The Raiders called.
Yeah.
I believe Brady reached out to Bill. How extensive was the conversation? How real is the interest? I think that's debatable.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling this item is coming from Bill's side. Makes Bill look good. Makes it look like multiple teams still have interest. I'm committed to North Carolina on top of it. Brady wants me.
Yeah.
All this stuff makes Bill look good. I think it comes from Bill's side. I'm sure Brady reached out informally and was like, hey, what's the situation at UNC? Mm-hmm. We got a vacancy here. Any recommendations? And then, oh, by the way, what are you up? Like, you're committed there, right? I'm sure it was something like that, and Bill is making it into something it isn't, because I don't think the league's interested in Bill.
It speaks to Tom Brady's huge Rolodex, where he's calling Bill and Vrabel. It's like, all right, you have anybody else? Any other thoughts?
Good point.
But he's going to those guys. Yeah. Do you think, very simply, do you think Bill Belichick wants to coach in the NFL?
Yes.
So do I. Do you think he would coach the Raiders?
Yeah.
Yeah, so do I.
I think he'd coach anywhere in the NFL over UNC.
Do you think Tom Brady and Mark Davis will offer him the job?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
No.
I don't think so. I think
he definitely won't interview.
Because that is a long rebuild. Like, it makes more sense for them. If everyone's doing, I hate the phrase, but the adult in the room that's been tossed around a ton as it relates to New England and bringing in Vrabel to sort of clean it up. Same thing with Vegas. Vegas was a mess. They actually just finally got a good year with Gruden, and then the Snyder investigation emails got Gruden fired from that job. Then they brought in McDaniels for, a year and a half? Yep. Then Antonio Pierce for a year and a half. So they're a disaster. They're a mess right now. So they could use somebody like Vrabel. And I get what they mean by they could use somebody like Belichick, but then what? 2 years later, you're going to go find somebody else? I don't think that one makes a lot of sense, but I could see Brady wanting to maybe like legitimize that job a little bit more, because we're kind of joking about the Jets candidates or all these like Tom, Dick, and Harry that was like a QB coach or like a failed head coach.
This is a good point. Why could it come from someone other than Bill?
I think the Raiders look at it like, who are your candidates? Oh, I don't know, Mike Vrabel and Bill Belichick.
Pretty good.
Like, those are pretty good candidates.
And it would make sense, if we're playing this out, for Brady to trumpet it up and be like, I'm super involved. I'm the point person. I'm making the calls. So, maybe it doesn't come from Bill's side. That was my first instinct, but good point.
I'm surprised he's not more bitter. He's not. Maybe because he's got
Brady?
Yeah.
Well,
wouldn't you be like, I'm not interested in Bill at all?
Yeah. But if you're really bitter, you could make the other guy work for you. The guy you used to work for, you could make him work for you.
But so you got to really play it out. Like, just having him linked to the job, I don't think really helps you
I agree with that.
I mean, I brought it up. It helps you a little bit. But yeah, being his boss is the ultimate long play. Like, that would be great.
Bossing Bill around.
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be awesome.
That would be pretty amazing.
Like, I would love that. This is why I don't want Bill at the University of North Carolina. It's boring. It's lame. He's following 3-star recruits on Twitter.
Yeah.
He's on Twitter, for God's sake. Like, it's pathetic is what it is. So I would love him working for Tom Brady. That'd be awesome.
But
that'd be so good. It's not.
No, it's not.
It's not going to happen.
But this also goes back to what we were saying towards the end of the season. Even before we knew Gerard Mayo would be out and the Patriots would be looking for somebody. The best head coaching candidates, it's not many. I don't think there are 6 good candidates, and there are at least 6 jobs open.
Pete Carroll is interviewing?
I mean, I guess. So you have Ben Johnson, who I like, you like. Everybody does.
Pete Carroll, by the way, got more real interviews this go-round than Belichick. Belichick's getting like a phone call from Tom Brady. But Carroll has an actual interview lined up with the Bears, right?
Is it the Bears? Yeah.
I thought it was the Bears.
I don't know. I just think there's a lot of guys that have like big time. I mean, everybody has a question mark. They're not head coaches right now for whatever the reasons might be. But after you talk about Ben Johnson, Mike Vrabel, and then if you want to toss like Aaron Glenn on there, all right, like 3 other teams are going to be taking a big swing. Either it's like a retread that we roll our eyes at, or a guy that's probably not qualified and maybe ends up working out, or maybe doesn't.
Yep. So interesting. If nothing else, the story is very interesting. And I think it underscores the only potential hiccup left with Mike Vrabel as the next head coach of the New England Patriots. Not my first choice, not your first choice, Keith.
No.
But it does underscore, and it sounds like a done deal. Giardi said it could be done by the weekend. Rap Sheet is echoing that now, that it could be done by the weekend. Vrabel interviews here tomorrow. They're going to talk to Ben Johnson virtually, probably today, if I had to guess, maybe Friday. They have to do it this week. They've already talked to, and unfortunately it was sham interviews, Byron Leftwich and Pep Hamilton. So it sounds like Vrabel's a done deal. It does underscore the one potential hiccup and the one guy looming over everything, if he wants to, Brady. Brady and Vrabel are boys. And so could Brady steal away Vrabel from the Crafts? I actually think that would be a good thing, by the way. It'd force the Patriots to go through a real coaching search. But could he do that?
I think he could.
And is he in the way with, Belichick? Is Brady playing these games?
Yeah, Brady definitely is. It's going to be fun to see who the Raiders end up picking.
Meanwhile, you got to get ready for a playoff game, Tom. Like, he's screwing around with all this stuff.
I got a Super Bowl.
Making calls to Bill Belichick, flirting with Mike Vrabel. You have a Super Bowl to get ready for,
people
Tom.
People are all over him.
You have a day job, Tom.
Early, easy prediction. Tom Brady will be trending throughout the day on throughout the night on Super Bowl. And it's a matter of for good or for bad. People are going to be pulling quotes. I mean, people are going to be taking videos.
Probably bad.
He's not very good at the job. And then, like, whatever he says, especially if the Raiders don't have a coach by then, like, everything he says, like, if he's complimenting Ben Johnson, if he's talking about some Chiefs or Bills assistant, you're like, well, what is that?
Yeah, Spags. Love Spags. Spags was great against us against
Joe Brady.
Super Bowl. Yeah.
Joe Brady. Love
good
Joe
one.
Brady.
Good one.
You do? The hell?
Why?
Like, is that allowed?
Same
allowed
name?
Yes.
What, are you related?
Yeah, it's tough. That's
so,
a weird thing.
But do you think Brady could potentially get in the way? Is that really the only hurdle left for Vrabel being the head coach?
Yeah, I don't
here?
See Vrabel going anywhere else. I know he took other interviews. I don't think they make a ton of sense for that team or for him. So I thought it was 100% he was just going to come to the Patriots. But I think you would be intrigued by both Tom Brady and Richard Seymour being
good point.
Part owners of the Raiders. Sort of a clean slate. Now, you don't have the quarterback. The Patriots have the quarterback, and they have the fourth pick. Raiders have no quarterback in the sixth pick. So just looking at the two, it's a better job, I would say, here in New England. But I think you could be convinced to go to the Raiders, and then we'll see what the money comes down to, too. I know they're paying a million coaches, so maybe it won't be significant, and maybe it'll be very similar to what New England offers them. But, yeah, this is the only thing that I think would prevent him from just walking right into New England.
617-779-7937. Derek is on Nantucket. Go ahead, Derek.
Hey, how's it going? So how much do we think the horrible season New England had this year, how much does that raise Bill Belichick's value as a potential head coach for another team?
Well, I would tell you he's at Chapel Hill,
yeah.
So not much.
So
I mean, he took the North Carolina job December 12th is when he was introduced.
Yeah.
I think we knew the Patriots were having a pretty bad season at that point, and nobody wanted him. So you can make the argument it did. I don't think it actually did because no one wants him.
No, I don't think it really helped a lot. It didn't hurt. Mayo didn't come in and win 8-9 games. That would have hurt it. If
Correct.
You were like, oh, you took a lot of the same guys and you were that much better. But no, they were a train wreck and had the same record. It's funny because depending on who you talk to, it seems like some people forget how bad it was with Bill.
Even I think I forget from time
to
time.
So do I. I mean, I have a short memory, but like, the games when they played the Saints and the Cowboys back-to-back were as low of a point as a Patriots fan over the last 20-something, 30 years as you can remember. And then watching Mac Jones, and a lot of people are like, well, it's just Mac Jones' fault. It's like, I don't know, Bill had a lot to do with that season, and it was a mess, and they won 4 games. This year was also a mess, a disaster, and more of a debacle off the field, obviously, but the same record. So, yeah, I don't think it helped Bill necessarily, but it didn't hurt him either.
No. And look, maybe you believe it. You think Bill could team up with Brady in Vegas. How would you feel about that as a Patriots fan? 617-779-7937. Or is Brady more likely to steal away Mike Vrabel from the Patriots? Plus, Mike Vrabel would at least be an adult in the room. We've said it all day long. I think that was the subtext of the story today in The Athletic. And yeah, I think it came from ownership. Not that they wanted to stab Gerard Mayo in the back necessarily, but they want to justify their next hire, a grown-up. Which, if you read the story in The Athletic, and we'll give you details coming up, Mayo clearly was not this year. We'll get to it with all your phone calls next.
Mike Vrabel has not been a head coach in the NFL for more than a year, trying to make his way back into the ranks. Interviews for the Chicago Bears today, and then the big one on Thursday, the New England Patriots. Of course, Vrabel, a member of the Patriots Hall of Fame, was an all-pro linebacker there. The Patriots did 2 interviews yesterday. They are able to hire, theoretically, if they want to hire Mike Vrabel. And the widely understood view is that Vrabel is considered to be the front runner for the Patriots job. We'll see if they're able to get this done, firm and finalized tomorrow, and wrap up their head coaching search rather quickly.
Ian Rappaport on the basically foregone conclusion Mike Vrabel is the next head coach here. Could be wrapped up by the weekend. Sham process, which I felt more strongly about yesterday when you started to see names like Byron Leftwich and Pep Hamilton. Which is unfortunate for them. Don't waste their time.
Oh, my God.
But it certainly seems to be that way. And Tom Brady's at the middle of Vrabel, the one potential hurdle. Tom Pelissero reporting, if you've been listening here for the last hour or so, that Tom Brady also reached out to Bill Belichick.
How about that?
The Raiders are one of multiple teams, in fact, to reach out to Bill Belichick about returning to the NFL.
It'd be the ultimate college football coach move if Bill took a job and then left before he even had a chance. And I know he did that in the NFL.
I was going to say, college. That's his move. He did that with the Jets.
But that was a little bit different. That was a weird situation.
In fairness to him, it was very different.
That was a strange one.
He was forced into it. He didn't want to do it.
But college coaches all the time say they're taking one job, take another, or say they're never leaving, then bail and all that other stuff. And so, you know, that would be held against him because at his press conference, Bill Belichick said, I didn't come here to leave. And then he leaves in January.
Quote, we highlighted it at the time. His buyout goes from $10 million, which Florio made this point yesterday, actually.
Yeah.
$10 million is nothing. It's like a month of maintenance on your super yacht for these billionaires. No. So $10 million is nothing, but it does drop to $1 million in June, which I had wrong at the time. I thought it was June 2026 when we were talking about this. It's this June.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't think the buyout, in other words, is super relevant, but if they want to save some money, they could wait till June.
So if the Raiders don't have a coach by June, then I think you know it's going to be Bill.
I think we know who it's going to be.
They haven't hired a guy.
They're just waiting and waiting and waiting. Yeah. True. Ken popped his head in the break, Keith. He had two very interesting items. Number one, I didn't even think about this. The Raiders are on the schedule next year.
Can you imagine? Tom Brady in the owner's box. And Bill Belichick on the sideline.
I was going to say, Brady couldn't call the game, right? Because it's not a Fox game. Patriots and Raiders.
They switch games.
Maybe it could.
Oh, yeah.
So is there any way Brady could call it?
No.
Bill's coaching it.
He can't. I think part of his deal is he can't do Raider games, right?
Oh, yeah. You're right. He has a long list of stuff, but anyway. So that's a restriction of
Bill
his.
Bill Belichick coaching the Raiders against the Patriots would be amazing.
After Tom Brady hired him, which is Ken's other point, it's even more sad for Bill. What's more sad? Having to coach the North Carolina Tar Heels, a mid-tier ACC team.
It's that.
Pretty sad.
It's that.
Or you have to grovel with Brady, who you used to say, Brady, the kid at Foxborough High is better than you.
Yeah.
Wiped his ass with Brady for 20 years. You got to grovel to Brady just to work in the NFL and get the stupid wins record.
No, it's North Carolina.
Okay. They're both a basketball school.
It's that.
They are both sad, though.
Yeah, no, they are.
Mark Davis is your boss?
Yeah. But you're in the NFL.
True.
And you could spin it that way. You could still get the wins record and all that crap.
I agree. Like,
that's where he'd rather be is the NFL. I think it's still amazing to me that he's coaching the North Carolina Tar Heels. It's wild.
It is the sadder of the two.
Yeah.
And look, if Bill gets a job in the NFL, I can't say nobody wanted him. I can say he had to grovel and beg Tom Brady.
He'd say only Brady wanted him, but still, somebody did.
Who he wiped his ass with for 20 years. But okay, fine. Yeah. That got you back in the NFL. I can't say that anymore.
Now, where it really picks up, because this is all, I don't want to say speculation because it is a Tom Pelissero report, but there's a big difference between Tom Brady being like, hey, like, any interest in this, and Bill kind of laughing it off and then moving on, but then that being the story, versus do the Raiders ask North Carolina permission to interview him?
Correct.
And, like, do they really interview him, or is this just kind of fun, like, tickle butt?
Here's my...
Which is always fun.
That's... Oh, I was about to reference Courtney's comments this morning.
No,
we'll
leave her alone. She's still trying to do damage control.
So when it came to the phone call, if I had to guess how it went, just a guess, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Brady reaches out to Bill. I believe that part of it.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think of coaching candidates? Bill has been like, as we found out in the Flores lawsuit, Bill has consulted on all these hires throughout the NFL. He has been for, I don't know how many of the 50 years he's been in the league.
Yeah.
Bill has contacts everywhere in the league.
Well, there was also
it's laughable. People think he could get a job and he has to go to North Carolina in the NFL.
He obviously can't. But I mean, there were three in-season firings.
Brady reached out to Bill and he goes, hey, who do you think is a good candidate? What do you think of that candidate? Blah, 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 blah. Oh, by the way, Bill.
What about you?
Any interest in the job? Like, if I had to guess how that phone call went down, that's how it went down. And it's all true. Brady reached out to him. Brady asked him about the job. Like, all the things are true, but, right.
And Mike Lombardi's like, we're going back to the Raiders.
Good point. But what's the real motivation? The real motivation, I don't think, was that Bill's going to be the next head coach of the Raiders.
Man, what a great story it would be, though. It'd be awesome. You know, not only the...
Tremendous.
The boss, who the boss situation is now, but the fact that they play the Patriots next year. And then that's where it really matters. You want to see what Bill does in the league. Less so than the ACC. Don't get me wrong. I'll keep tabs on what Bill's doing in North Carolina. I'll be interested in that. But being in the NFL, having Brady as the owner, and then having an opportunity to see him play against the Patriots in Foxborough next year, that's like the greatest soap opera story ever.
So would you be happy with it? Would you be pissed off by it? Is it a little sad? 617-779-7937.
Just mash the pad. You'll get us.
I was about to say three things are all on the table. Maybe a little bit of all of the above.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right around it. It's a potpourri. You'll get the phone call. Could you see Bill? And I know Bill's trying to be younger and hipper.
Definitely.
Twitter, Instagram.
I mean, he does play to a young audience.
Jordan Hudson, for sure.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if Bill, if he came back to the NFL, would be playing cards at the back of the plane.
No.
It's been a while since we mentioned this. I just want to read this item from Chad Graff again. In The Athletic this morning, I think the subtext is the Patriots need an adult in the room because Mayo was short of that. Mike Vrabel would be that. I think that's the reason this story is out. And yeah, it came from ownership, I would guess. In a move that surprised some following their loss to the Cardinals, if you forget it, it's coming out of the bye week, flat loss, asses kicked by a bad Cardinals team. In a move that surprised some at the front of the plane, after such a lopsided loss, according to a team source, Mayo, the team's first-year head coach, who had been handpicked by Robert Kraft to succeed Bill Belichick, left his spot near the front of the plane and went back to where some of the players had gathered to play cards, choosing to hang out there while his assistants watched film.
So while the coaches did coaching stuff?
Yeah.
He was doing player stuff?
While the coaches were doing their jobs.
Got it.
He went to the back of the plane to play pinochle.
I don't see the need for this, to be honest. You know, there's been plenty of smear campaigns in the past, both players and coaches or managers who have left here. And I think it was because there was a little bit more of a, was this the right move? There was like a little bit more of a question about it, or like a player that somebody loved. And they're like, oh, actually a bad teammate, weird guy.
Yeah.
Remember there was even like a Dougie Hamilton smear campaign. You're like, who cares?
Yeah.
He's gone.
Brandon Lloyd was the weird guy.
Was weird. Yeah, Dougie Hamilton was like, he ate lunch by himself.
Yeah.
Like,
his only friend was his brother.
You're like, okay.
His like, parents had to call for playing time.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
There was all that stuff, right? And it was like, whatever. This is one where, and even with Bill, you could understand it because, man, the fan base was split in half.
Yep.
So Robert comes out with the dynasty and everything else, and that backfired in his face. But I think he did it for, like, they were hoping that this might get people on their side. Gerard Mayo, across the board, people are like, bad coach, move on, let's go to the next season. And they're like, yeah. But did you know he was, like, playing cards? You're like, fine, we already fired him. We can't fire him more.
I agree with you to a degree. Everybody agrees on Mayo, but some of the details are coming out to justify why Vrabel's the right choice and not another first-year coach like Ben Johnson.
So that part of it's scary to me because that it is set up where it's just going to be the obvious choice and it's just going to be Vrabel because the other three guys that they interviewed or at least lined up to interview have never been head coaches.
Correct. Here's the other quote from a team source.
Although I don't think Byron Leftwich would play cards in the back.
I don't think any either. We talked about this on air, off the air. It's unheard of to do that. Yeah. Just in case you're unfamiliar. It's unheard of, and I'm not telling you that. Keith's not telling you that. Jermaine Wiggins, NFL veteran, was shocked. Look, there's a lot of ways to do the job, a team source said. It's not that Gerard was definitely wrong, but I can't say I've seen that before. So other items in the Chad Graff story, he asked Steve Belichick to take a demotion, wouldn't let him call plays on defense, and Steve Belichick said, thanks, I'll go to Washington with dad's friend Jed Fish. He also completely screwed up the Ramondre Stevenson benching against the Chargers, which we knew. 617-779-7937. More of your phone calls there. We'll get into Belichick and Brady's interest in him. Vrabel as the next guy and Mayo, all of his mistakes last year. That's all next.